Hello again, I'm Ray with yet another podcast episode. Do you know, I started these, last July. So getting on for a year now. One every Sunday for a year. Yeah, we're coming up to 46? I can't remember. Friends. We've all got friends, haven't we? Well, I haven't. We've all got friends. We've had friends in the past. And how they vary. People are very different, aren't they? You know, you've got someone you call your best friend. And then you've got someone you call, well, he's a friend, or perhaps he's more of an acquaintance than a friend, just someone I know. Going back to the, teens, early 20 years of my life, obviously there were a load of us, we worked together, we knew people outside work, and we'd all get together, we'd go out Friday night, Saturday night, we'd go to a club, a nightclub or a pub or whatever. There was one friend in particular, his name was Steve. Now, we'd all decide, well, let's go to Brighton. Yeah, that's a good idea. This Saturday night or Friday, we'll go to Brighton. We'll go to that Bird's Nest Club or whatever, which is more of a pub, really, but it was a kind of club. Now, the thing is how to get to Brighton and back, about 10 miles away from where we all lived. Steve, what are you doing this Saturday? Oh, nothing much. Yeah, why? Do you want to come to Brighton with us? Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Oh, OK, Steve, well done. What do you want to do? Do you want to drive? Oh, okay, yeah, okay. And Steve would drive us all. He'd pick us all up, he'd take us all to Brighton, and then he'd drive us all home, drop us all off at our houses. Great friend was young Steve. The thing is, looking back, it was a bit naughty of us because we only used him, you know, for a lift. We did like him, he was a friend, but we used him for a lift, really. Whenever we were stuck, how are we going to get there? I'll tell you what, let's invite Steve. He'll drive. I remember going to a party at a hospital. That was about, 8 miles away. A kind of nurse's party. Dreadful. In the nurse's sort of accommodation block. They had a big hall downstairs. A big room, really, not a hall. And I got invited to this party. So I told a friend of mine, I said, yeah, we'll go over there together. And then it was the same. How are we going to get there? The same problem. How are we going to get there and back? We didn't want to drive, obviously, because we wanted to have a few beers and have a laugh. I know. Let's ask Steve. Steve, do you want to come to a nurse's party over at the hospital? Oh, yeah. When's that? Oh, well, it's this Friday. Yeah, well, that'd be great. OK, Steve, pick us up about 7 o'clock. The poor chap, he'd turn up at 7 and we'd all go over to the hospital. It was great. Great fun. Well, the thing is, Steve didn't miss out. I don't think he was particularly into boozing like we were when we were young. He didn't want to, you know, spend the evening drinking. He just enjoyed the music. And what he used to do, really, was sit there watching everyone else. He didn't join in. He liked the music and he liked looking at the girls. He never did anything. He just sat there. In fact, once we went on holiday to Spain and we took Steve with us. I think there were 4 or 5 of us. Not to drive or fly the plane this time. Steve was just a friend that came with us. And we went to this nightclub, which was great. It was really great fun. You know, the drinks were flowing. There were birds everywhere. What was Steve doing? He was on this sort of padded bench, because they were like benches all round seats. He was stretched out full length, asleep. And there's the music going and there's laughter and drinks flowing. And there's Steve. He's gone to sleep. So he was one of us, you know, he was one of the crowd, but we did use him a bit for lifts. It was his parents' car that he had, so, you know, it was rather nice. His parents didn't mind him taking the car, so we didn't mind him picking us up. Have you ever had a friend that's a know-all? You know, I'm sure we've all known people like it. They know everything about everything, or they've seen it, done it, been there, got the T-shirt, got the mug. You know the type? I knew a chap like that. He was one of our lot. If someone said, went over to France at the weekend, just got the ferry over there, spent the day there, it was really nice. Oh, I've been to France, I've been to Paris, yeah, I spent a couple of weeks there, went down to south of France. Initially, we all believed him. Oh, that's good. You know, down to France, south of France, oh, fantastic. But after a while, we began to realise that he was lying, basically, he was lying. A friend of mine had a triumph vitesse. There was a Triumph Herald, wasn't there? Then the Triumph Vitesse, I think, was a six-cylinder car. Anyway, he bought this car. He was really pleased with it. He's showing us all and having a look round. And this chap said, oh, I used to have a Triumph Vitesse. Oh, it was the better model than this. You know, it was the deluxe model. Well, there was no deluxe model. This Triumph Vitesse that my friend had, that was the deluxe model, if you like. If there was one, that was it. But it wasn't a deluxe model as such. But this chap was adamant, oh yes, I had the deluxe model, blah, blah, blah. He'd go on about it. We didn't say anything to him. We just let him get away with it, really, I suppose. I remember a time we were talking about guitars. A friend of mine was in a band, only a small band. They played down the village hall, that sort of thing. But it was good. There were, what, three or four of them in this little band. They had guitars, they had the drum kit. And of course, this chap said, oh, yes, I used to be in a band. And we all knew he hadn't. He couldn't play an instrument. So one of our lot said, well, what did you play? And he said, oh, I played the drums. Now, it just so happened that this friend that had been in the band had the drum kit at his house because they used to practice at his house. So we arranged it that we'd all go to his house and we'd take old Know-It-All with us. So we all met up there, had a couple of beers. And then I said to Know-It-All, I said, you played drums, you said, didn't you, in a band? Oh, yeah, 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 did that. So we led him through to this other room, the dining room, where the drum kit was set up. Go on then, give us a go. We're all sort of gathering round. And his face, well, I'm a bit out of practice now. Oh, that doesn't matter. Go on, sit down. Go on, give us a blast on the drums. Love to hear it. And of course, he couldn't play the drums. He just couldn't play the drums at all. He lied his way out of it. He said he'd sprained his arm doing something or other, so he couldn't play the drums. We all knew again he was lying, and this time we were just laughing, you know. I don't know whether he knew that we knew he was lying or not. I often used to wonder, surely he realises that none of us believe these fantastic stories he comes out with. And some of them were fantastic. There was one he came out with in particular I shall never forget. This was quite some years later. We were, what, mid-20s? He said he had been a radio officer in the Navy. Now, none of us believe that because he'd never been away. I mean, you know, if you're on board ship, you go away for several months at a time. He'd never gone anywhere. He'd never left the UK. Now, I was interested in amateur radio. I was a licensed radio amateur. And I knew Morse code. I used Morse code on the radio to communicate with other radio amateurs. So I said to him, you know Morse code? Oh, yes, I know Morse code. Now, he didn't realise that I used Morse code a lot. Oh, yeah, I know Morse code. He said, oh, we did that on board ship all the time, sailing around the world. I remember when we went here, we went there. And of course, we're all just sniggering. We were in a pub at the time. And he went on about this Morse code and the radio equipment, which I knew something about, not that I'd been a radio officer myself. Anyway, we arranged to meet at my house some days later, one evening, and I had the Morse key set up and a paper and a pen and took him out into my, what I call my shack, my radio amateur shack, which was a shed. We all went out there. Someone said, oh, let's have a look at your gear, Ray. I said, yeah, come on, let's go and have a look. And of course, there's the Morse key. And I said, oh, Mr. Know-It-All, I didn't call him that. Come on then, Mr. Know-It-All, send me some Morse code. And he looked at me and he looked at the Morse key and looked back at me. Oh, that was years ago. I can't do it now. I'm out of practice. And I said, oh, come on. It's like riding a bike. You know, once you learn how to do it, you never forget. It's always there. I said, come on, I'll send you some. And I sent a bit of code, not too fast. He didn't know one letter, not one letter. Because in the end, I said to him, OK, well, what's this then? And I sent the letter R. And he just looked at me with a blank face. Oh, I've forgotten it all now. It was years ago. Well, it couldn't have been that many years ago. We're only now sort of mid-20s. There were a lot of incidents like that where we caught him out red-handed. You know, obvious, he was lying. But he never seemed to click. He just carried on lying about things. I don't know when I last saw him, about 20 years ago. And even then, he was coming out with a load of rubbish that obviously wasn't true. Oh, he said he'd written a book. That was one thing. Oh, yes, I wrote a book. And I said, oh, yeah, what's the title? Oh, well, it's out of print now. That's about 20 years ago. It's out of print now. But, I made a lot of money out of that. It's all total rubbish. I think everyone must have known someone like that at some time in their life. I've often wondered why. I suppose it's an ego boost for them, is it? I think they're lacking in something, you know, so they've got to make something up. Perhaps their lives are so dull and dreary, they have to make things up to make it all sound a little bit more glamorous and exciting. I don't know. Actually, that reminds me. I remember this other chap. This wasn't one of our gang. This was much later on in life. I was in my 40s. This chap in the pub, we became friends. There were two or three of us. We became mates. And he came in one evening with a piece of paper and he said, "I've written a song." So I looked at it and I read it. He called it Industrial Disease. Now, you may or may not know of that one. And I read it and I said, "That's really good." I didn't know the song at the time. I didn't know it. And I said, "Well, that is really amazing." And this other friend of mine, he read it. And he said, "God, you know," he said, "you should take this up for a living." Anyway, this chap behind the bar, he got the bit of paper and he looked at it and he said, "Oh yes, Industrial Disease by Dire Straits. You didn't write that at all. It's a well-known song by a well-known band." And he just said, "I've never heard of it. I've never heard of Industrial Disease. I didn't know they did that. I've only just written this." He wouldn't have it. He said that he'd never heard of the song being recorded by anyone. He'd only just written it. And it was word for word, because another evening someone brought in the actual text, the lyrics typed out, word for word the same. He must have realised that we knew he was lying again. But he wouldn't have it. No, I've just written that. Don't get me wrong, not all my friends were compulsive liars. There was this other chap I knew. He was deadly jealous. He was always jealous. It didn't matter who had what, he was jealous. And he really did come across as jealous. I remember I bought a car. I think it was a Hillman Minx. Yeah, it was. It was the Hillman Minx that I bought. I paid £500 for it. It was a really nice car. I drove it down to the local pub one summer evening, parked outside. And of course, my friends are gathering round, having a look. "Oh, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, what did you pay for it?" And he wandered over, because he'd held back a bit because he was jealous, obviously. Anyway, he finally wandered over and joined us. And he said, "Oh, so what did you pay for it?" And I said, £500. He said, "Oh, they saw you coming, didn't they? £500 for that." And of course, all the others were saying, "Well, actually, it's well worth it. It's worth more than £500. You know, it's a bargain. You've done well there." Actually, he wasn't a very nice chap at all. He didn't last long in our group because one of the lads got a new girlfriend, and she was stunning. She really was stunning. Extremely nice as well. You know, not just a pretty face. She was very intelligent as well. And of course, he was deadly jealous. And after a couple of weeks, he started putting around rumours that this girl was seeing someone else behind my friend's back, which was total rubbish. And it caused a lot of trouble. You know, it really did cause trouble. They split up over it. Luckily, only temporarily, they got back together again and they ended up married and having kids. They're still together now. But he caused a lot of trouble over that. And it was all down to jealousy. He was jealous. He had this lovely girlfriend. He didn't have a girlfriend at the time. He couldn't get a girlfriend. That was the other thing. We went to this club and I chatted up this girl. And you know, I bought her a drink and we spent the evening together. And I said, "I'll see you again." And he came over. And in front of me, he said to this girl, "What do you want to go out with him for? He's only got a Ford Escort estate. I've got a Volvo." And she said, "I want to go out with him, not his car." That shut him up. I did have a very good friend. I'd driven up to London and I was on my way back, about 40 miles away from home, and my car broke down. Luckily, there was a phone box not too far away, and I phoned this friend of mine. I didn't know who else to call. Didn't want to wake my parents up. It was quite late at night. So I rang this friend of mine and I said, "Look, I'm stuck up here." "Don't worry," he said. "Tell me exactly where you are. I'll be there. I'll leave now." And he did. He drove up and he had a tow rope. he bought a tow rope. I wasn't quite sure what we were going to do. I thought perhaps he'd give me a lift home and I'd sort the car out some other time. He towed me 40 miles back home. A real friend, you know, only a proper friend would do that. There aren't many people around that would do that sort of thing. Plenty of people that will say, "Oh, yes, I'd do anything for anyone." But when it actually comes to it, yes. But he was a very good friend. He moved abroad in the end, so lost touch with him, unfortunately. We did keep in touch for a while, but I think he moved again, and that was the end of that. there was another chap I knew. Now, we were quite good friends. He was going away, or I think on a course, something to do with work. He was going away on a course for 2 weeks, somewhere up the north of England. And he said, will you look after my girlfriend? Now, he didn't mean in that way. He said, you know, she's one of the gangs, so to speak. He said, can you pick her up, take her out? You know, if you go down to the club, or if you're meeting in a pub, or you go to Brighton, could you take her along with you? And I said, yes. He knew at the time I didn't have a girlfriend. I said, yeah, of course, that's no problem. I looked upon her as a friend, and I looked upon him as a friend. That was it. There was nothing else in it at all. He was away for the 2 weeks. I did as he'd said. I used to pick her up if ever we were, the weekends, you know, we were going to Brighton or wherever we were going. I'd pick her up. And I wasn't with her for the evening. She was with all of us. She'd chat to other people, then she'd chat to me, and I'd give her a lift home, which is exactly what he'd wanted me to do, look after her while he was away. He eventually got back, and I passed him in the street. And I shouted, oh, hi, how are you doing? And he ignored me. He walked straight past me, and I couldn't believe it. You know, we'd been mates for a long, long time. We'd been at technical college together. I just couldn't believe it. I didn't know what was going on. Then there was a party at another friend's house, and I drove over there to this party. He was there with this girl, and they didn't speak to me, which was really strange. I didn't know what had happened. I just thought, well, okay, whatever. You know, I thought I knew these people well. Obviously not. They're obviously a bit weird. The following morning, I'd driven home. The following morning, I came out to my car, and in lipstick on the boot of the car, on the back, was a very naughty word intended for me, beginning with B and ending with D, with an exclamation mark. And I thought, well, who's done that? Anyway, it was lipstick. It was a hell of a job to get off. I got it off. And I found out in the end it was him. About a year later, we bumped into each other in the street. I never knew what was wrong until we bumped into each other. And he said, oh, hi, Ray, how are you doing? And I said, oh, you're talking to me, are you? Ah, yes. He said, yes, sorry about that. I said, well, it's been a year. He said, yeah, she told me that you tried it on with her and all sorts. This girl that I'd looked after, you know, for 2 weeks while he was away. Oh, she told me you did this and you did that to her, which was all totally untrue. You know, they'd since split up. Now, why had she done that? What a strange person. Why had she done that? And of course, he believed her and he thought I was a right B with an ending with D word. So there we are. We lost touch in the end as well. I think he went to Australia. He did say to me, actually, that he should have believed me because he'd known all along that she was a compulsive liar. Oh, dear. Funny old life, isn't it? I've got some very good friends these days, very good friends. Well, I did have then. Some were very nice people. Some little saying or phrase I've never forgotten is, what is it? You can choose your friends, but not your family. That's quite funny, isn't it? It's true, though, isn't it? You know, you can choose your friends. What I do with friends, or not friends, what I do with people I know, if I don't like them, or they don't like me, or they're funny in any way, I just cut them off. That's it. End of. Cut off. You're finished. Gone. Okay, I won't bore you anymore. Where are we? Getting on for 20 minutes. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. I'm already giving some thought to next Sunday's episode. I won't give the game away now. But I hope you look out for that one. Thanks for listening as always. Take care, and I shall see you next Sunday. Bye-bye for now.